Blog Talk Radio.
Life is supersonic, we've gotta be the body to rock it like we're never gonna see it again. We are exploding, the world is gonna know it. We'll rock it like you're never gonna see us again. Come on over. Come on over.
Good evening, everyone. It is 11:08, straight up, and pure gold is live in the air once again for this Tuesday night, June 21st, 2016. Welcome to the show that covers everything and anything and tells it like it is. My name is JB, and my co-host, who is not sleeping this week, is DG. Sir, how are you? Uh-oh. Red alert.
Shut up! Go to hell!
Folks, here I am, the one and only DG, the man, the myth, the legend, the fool. Yes, I am awake. Almost fell asleep, by the way. My kids wanted me to go to sleep with them, but I refused this time because we have two guests on tonight. You know what's crazy? There have been months where we haven't been able to pay people to come on the show, and all of a sudden I somehow booked us two guests on the same night, so can't wait for that. We're going to be joined by the former Miss Arizona 2010, well, Miss Arizona USA 2010, Brittany Bell, who was also Miss Guam, I believe in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, and she was Miss Studio City. I mean, this woman has been all over the place. She hasn't been on the show in a very long time, so it'd be nice to catch up with her. And of course, the one and only the legend, Julie Buehler. Buehler's Day Off, her radio program. I think I've heard that before. Julie also has not been with us for quite a while, so it'll be pretty exciting to hear from them. Of course, you can check out all of our old episodes at puregoldpg.com. And if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call. 929-477-2593. JB, back to you, sir.
Thanks, Dave. It's so good to have you on the show, to start the show and not to end the show, because last week, let's face it, was not the greatest of shows, considering that you were, you know, half in the can for the first 45 minutes. So good to have you back.
Oh, sure. Of course.
We do got lots to talk about. I know we want to save some NBA talk, the finals talk with Julie Buehler, catch up with Miss Arizona, Brittany Bell, BB, or B-squared, as we call her here in the radio world, as we wait for
her. As only you call her, because nobody else would ever call her that, because it's ridiculous, and it's asinine.
Yeah. Anyway,
this show brought to you by Snapple, by the way, and also by Wellesley Farms, the great water over at BJ's, one of my favorite stores. I'm going to be drinking that throughout the show, so I just want to throw thank you for the sponsorship. Snapple definitely is made from the best stuff on earth.
Definitely. Obviously, maybe. Good. I mean, this feels like a real show now. We have sponsors, we have guests. You're not sleeping. I mean, this is good. I mean,
well, it's not just me and you talking crap, because I mean, I tell you, no offense there, but that does get kind of boring. I mean, we talked plenty of crap when we saw each other at the GCW Communist Wrestling the other day. It was great. Great Communist Wrestling. Gotta love that.
Speaking of wrestling, we might as well get into the big news that came down about 12 hours ago. Roman Reigns has failed his wellness test and now is suspended for 30 days, which is ironic but I guess it's good for him that he can still make the pay-per-view. But you're thinking that he's not going to actually be in the main event anymore?
I mean, he is in the main event, but I honestly, this first of all, he owned the suspension. He apologized for it, so obviously he screwed up. I mean, I know Brittany's going to be calling any minutes. So I don't think we can really get into this just now. But to me, if you're Roman Reigns, you are not a bad guy. You're not a good guy. You're just the guy that the WWE chose to put the strap on. And see, the thing about wrestling and that people who don't, you know, talk about how wrestling is rigged and fake, what they don't get it is that, you know what, it is a big honor for the company to say, you know what, we trust you. We're going to put the title on you. And the fact that he screwed that up, the fact that he screwed up that push, I don't even know why. God himself only knows why Roman Reigns did this. And the thing that gets me is that this isn't, again, I'm not trying to knock wrestling, but this is not a legitimate professional sport like baseball or basketball or football where these guys are trying to compete, you know, to get to a certain spot to be able to, you know, make all this money, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, in wrestling, it's all based on if Vince likes you, if Triple H likes you, what they think of you. It's not even based on your wrestling ability. So I don't understand why any of these guys take performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, the fact that they put the title belt on a complete and utter hobo in Dean Ambrose, I'm pretty sure Dean Ambrose lives in the street, you know, under a bridge somewhere with the Three Billy Goats Gruff, one of my favorite kid stories of all time. I mean, this guy's a complete bum, and now he's a WWE champion, which, of course, I'm jumping the gun, but why in the world is Roman Reigns taking anything that he shouldn't be taking? So it makes no sense.
It really doesn't, and shame on Roman Reigns, or his real name is actually Joe Anoa'i, I believe.
Anoa'i?
Anoa'i.
He's very
like
annoying,
I guess. Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, listen, today's shame on you definitely goes to Roman Reigns.
Shame on you!
It doesn't.
Yeah, that should be a segment. We should make that a segment. We should have it, you know, every time we pick some idiot, some loser, some jerk, and then we have a Shame on You award, which, of course, would go to him, and we can make up our own award and actually send it to that person. But the thing that gets me... I'm sorry, sir. Adam Rose got suspended for this. You know, Connor from The Ascension got suspended for this. When you're already the top dog, when you're already the heir apparent to John Cena, explain to me how you get suspended. What planet... does it make sense that a Raw... It just totally baffles my mind that this guy got suspended.
It does, and very disappointed. And, you know, what I was going to say was that a couple of years ago, we actually had that soundbite, and to end our show, we would do a Shame on You segment, and we would do a
Did
Shame
we really?
On You once. Oh, yeah, we used to do that. We actually had, like, bites that we would do and end the show with, you know, Joe's take, JB's take, DG's take on a certain item, so... We definitely did a Shame on You segment for a good 3, 4, 5 episodes, so.
Joe in Wallington. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike. How are you? Mike, call
Wait, hold on. Check this out. Check this out.
Joe in Wallington. What's up, Joe?
Shame on you!
That's pretty much how Joe's call with Mike went.
You know what's funny is that, as I look for it, but it's apropos. Even 4 years later from when Mike actually said this and we recorded it, but, you know, the Mets these days.
Mistake!
I mean, that's
yeah,
pretty appropriate.
Definitely.
Right? But as we
definitely
wait for Brittany,
appropriate.
As we wait for Brittany,
yeah.
Besides the Shame on You, I think there's three candidates for Shame on You of the week. You know, obviously Roman, who just got suspended today, but Jerry Lawler, who got arrested for domestic abuse, and the Mets.
Oh, jeez.
Who would you, like, rank the three Shame on Yous as we wait for Brittany? What would you say number one is, number two, and number three?
Number one to me would have to be Roman Reigns, simply because of the fact that the position on the card that he was in and the fact that this makes no sense. Number two would probably go to Jerry the King Lawler for his whole debacle. And, again, you know, you and I get into this. Folks, if you could listen to the arguments that Joe and I get to off the air, this show would be so much more entertaining. It would be funny. We're pretty civil here, but off the air, there's a lot of things that cannot be repeated on air, and the insults are flying furiously. But the whole Jerry Lawler thing, I mean, it's a known fact Jerry Lawler does not drink, and even Jim Ross, when discussing the event, said, you know, it's known. No, but he does not drink at all, and this whole thing makes no sense. I mean, who would the third Shame on You go to? I mean, you got those two. Who else?
I said the Mets these days.
Oh, please. Who?
The Mets.
Who? The Mets. They
make a goal.
That's it. You know what the truth is? They're disgusting, and it really drives me nuts because they're so bad, sir. They're such a bad team. They have nothing going for them. You know, they can't win any games. They have no offense. They didn't win today, though, so, you know, 2-1.
Well, when they win 2-1 games. That's how it goes.
Yeah, and, of course, they hit two home runs today. Cespedes and who else? Oh, and Cabrera, of course. Who else would hit home runs on this freaking team? It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting the way that this team operates.
Yeah, and while we wait for Brittany, we might as well hit the wrestling topic because I think there's only a few more things to talk about with wrestling. You had a good, interesting take.
Well,
on
we
the
never
segment.
Finished talking about Roman Reigns. You didn't even discuss it.
I mean, he got suspended. He did drugs. Or he did some kind of steroids.
How?
Or whatever.
Why? Why? How did this guy get? Explain this to me. You're the WWE champion. You know, how do you do this? How do you get? This isn't some jobber. This isn't some jabroni. This isn't some guy trying to, you know, what is it, Kennedy make his way up to Carr. This is freaking Roman Reigns. You're not just a guy. You're not a good guy. You're not a bad guy. You're the guy. I mean, come on. The guy.
He's the suspended
guy. I mean, if
now.
He doesn't get suspended, sir, if he doesn't get suspended, is he still WWE champion? Of course, right?
Of course. But here's my question. Chronologically, how did this all come about? Was he going to be suspended and they had to take the belt off of him at the pay-per-view, or did Dean Ambrose win the title because the Cleveland Cavaliers won the title and the pay-per-view went past 11
o'clock?
I had
a theory. I mean, isn't Dean from Ohio? Am I mistaken on that? Because I thought I heard he's from Ohio, right?
No,
all right. So, and it's funny because he talked about how he doesn't like Cleveland, which is interesting. Yeah, he's from Cincinnati. How does this guy not – explain to me how this guy is not a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. I mean, he's freaking – he's from Cincinnati. There's not – there's, you know, I'm sure he's a hobo and he's a wandering degenerate. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got to be a Cavaliers fan. You got to be a Cleveland fan if you're Dean Ambrose, no? But anyway, so I think that the WWE had this whole plan. You know, the Roman Reigns thing must have come down the pike because I doubt they suspended – they found out today they suspended him today. But they knew about this. They're pretty well informed when it comes to this type of stuff. And, you know, I think they were trying to capitalize on the whole NBA. When have you ever heard of a random pay-per-view like Money in the Bank going like 4 hours? 11:30, I think it was, when it finally finished. I mean, that never happens, ever. So
yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense that all of a sudden they randomly decide to have this pay-per-view that long. I mean, I don't know, sir. Something's fishy. I told you WWE... they're up to no good, as it were, and I'm sure that there was a plan, and I'm sure that they were thinking, you know, let's capitalize on what's going on in Cleveland, you know, because if they had, if the title changed, they knew everybody was watching the Cavs and the Warriors, the non-Ultimate Warriors, by the way, and if they're planning on changing the title and they're going to do it when nobody's watching, I mean, you know, that's obviously not going to be good for them, but they, of course, send the new title belt to the Cavaliers, which we can get into that, and they give the belt to, you know, Ohio native, and Dean Ambrose. I don't know, sir. And plus the suspension, I think it all kind of worked out perfectly for them.
It did. And I never thought about the take about being from Ohio, giving the title. But what I thought was going on was that, yes, everybody that's a sports fan was watching Game 7 of the Finals. And it was only convenient that Vince or someone behind the scenes delayed the main event between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins until after the final buzzer went off and LeBron James had won his third title. So I think that was no coincidence that they waited for that match to go on after the finals were over. I didn't think about
right.
the correlation between Dean Ambrose being from Ohio and give him the title because Cleveland had just won the title. That's kind of hard to do last minute, last second, but
it's
you know,
the WWE. I mean, they could literally change the plans on the fly and say, you know what, Dean, you're going to win the title right now, and that's it. So,
I mean, anything
could happen.
Yeah, I do have some plot holes, though, with the whole Money in the Bank and having Dean Ambrose win it and then cash it in the same night. I know that they're trying to do a variation of every variation possible of cashing in the Money in the Bank, but I think somebody like Kevin Owens, it's always good for a heel to win that match because it's
all
a
right,
heel
sir,
way to win.
You're gonna have to stop this because nobody
yes,
cares, first of all, and we are going to be joined right now by the one and only. You know what, before I even introduce her, I'm going to play a famous soundbite that we always use. You know, it's been a while, but let's try this one.
Hi, this is Brittany Bell, Miss Arizona USA 2010. Make sure you tune in to Pure Gold each week to hear the best interviews and live talk radio. David and Joe are simply the best. Check them out at puregoldpg.com.
Folks, that was the one and only Brittany Bell, as she stated herself, Miss Arizona, USA, 2010, and so many other things going on. Brittany, Dave, and Joe here. How are you doing?
Hi, David and Joe. I'm doing really well, actually. A lot has gone on since we last talked and I was on the show.
Well, the interesting thing, right, Joe and I were talking, and we were trying to find out when was the last time you were on the show, and after our crack research staff, they you know, looked into this, you realize it's been over 3 years since you graced the airwaves here in Pure Gold? 3 years,
yeah.
Brittany. What have you been up to in the past 3 years?
Oh, boy. Oh, in the past 3 years, a lot has happened. I actually, at one point recently, I had moved over to the island of Guam where my mom is from. And
right.
I was reporting out there. I did, like, TV reporting for ABC and Fox there, and it was great. But the reason why I was mainly out there was as an ambassador for the island, as I found the opportunity to compete in Miss Universe as I represented Guam, and it worked out well. I got a chance to go and it was a whole other experience living on a small island, and now I'm back in Los Angeles, so it's been good.
Back in the real world, I guess. Yeah, I had a friend, former friend, no longer someone that I associate with, but this person lived on Guam for a few years, and I've heard some, you know, some interesting things about the island, and obviously, you know, it's not an island that here, definitely not in New Jersey, that you hear a lot of talk, but it is cool that, you, of course, you know, your family being from there and everything, you mentioned your mom, and I saw that you were Miss Guam, and I was like, oh, cool. Brittany sounds like she's been busy. And the last time we spoke, you were also doing some stuff for the World Poker Tour, if I'm not mistaken. Now, whatever happened with all that?
Well, actually, I continued on with more seasons with the World Poker Tour since we last talked, and we just completed our last season probably around May, and then we're starting back up again, and they've asked me to return. So I will be back on that tour circuit. It's just going to be a little bit different. Everybody will see there's going to be some new additions to our team, and hopefully I'll be traveling the world and sharing some of those pictures and stories with you guys soon.
Is Mike Sexton awesome. And Van Patten still calling the action?
Yep, they're still there. They're still commentating on the whole thing. They're like family to us and the World Poker Tour. So it's been a really fun time with them just over the past, I guess it's been almost 5 years working with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now the biggest tournament is going on right now in Las Vegas with the World Series of Poker. I know that that's probably considered competition, Brittany, but do you follow that? Do you play poker? I forget now. It's been so long.
Yeah, you know, actually, since we last spoke, I do play poker actually way more than when we last spoke. I have a really strong love for the game. It's almost torture to watch it because you can't play it when you're working. But I do play in my free time when I'm at different places, like in Atlantic City, if we stop there. There's certain stops that I really love playing at. But anytime I can get in on a poker game, Texas Hold'em is my thing. So it's been good. And another thing is it's kind of like a challenge because it's a predominantly male type sport. And so when you find that you can have an advantage as a woman being underestimated, it's a lot of fun. And then also you asked about the WSOP, the World Series of Poker. It's kind of like football season and basketball season. We don't really collide. We just kind of offset each other. So everybody knows that's like the mecca of poker and they all go there. But our tour is more about traveling in the time away from the World Series. And the guys and the girls who go to the World Series of Poker are there in Vegas for like, they camp out, you know, they pretty much have properties there for a while. So it's a lot of fun. Maybe I'll go play.
I could tell just by talking to you now and 3 years ago, I wouldn't want to play poker against you, Brittany. I think you'd probably fleece me for everything I had, and I'd probably have to like probably move out of my house in Woodridge after you beat me.
I'm a little more seasoned. The journey of life has seasoned me a little bit more, especially in the mental game, especially with poker. It's been good. That's funny.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Up on the game.
Yep.
Oh, sure. I mean, Joe has the you know, World Series of Poker bracelet, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, Joe's a big fan. And, you know, I remember years ago we had, if I'm not mistaken, the 2005 World Series of Poker champion, right, Joe? He was on our show a couple years ago. Yeah, that was interesting, Brittany. That's one of the only interviews we've ever done where I literally had no clue what I was talking about. It was hard to fake it through that interview because, I mean, I could pretty much pretend like I know about a lot of things. Poker is not one of them, and it was interesting to talk to Joe because this is the guest, because this is years ago, and he's talking about all these different things and Texas Hold'em and blah, 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 and I'm just sitting there like, wow, that's great. And now you two are over here talking about the World Series of Poker and everything else. I mean, you may as well be speaking, you know, Tagalog or something. You may as well be speaking a completely different language because I have no clue what you're talking about. But, you know, it's weird, folks, you know, for those of you out there listening, of course, I've talked at length in the show recently how, you know, Joe and I have been doing this program less frequently than we used to, and getting guests has been so difficult. But it's funny, with Brittany, it was so easy. I literally just messaged her on Facebook one day. I was like, hey, how are you? What's new? Want to come back on the show again? And then I get a response, yeah, sure, why not? And literally that was it. We just kind of texted and we figured it out. But I was like, wow, I mean, I didn't have to pay her. I didn't have to bribe her. I didn't have to send her, you know, money or anything. It was pretty good. So, of course, we appreciate you, you know, taking the time out of your busy schedule, Brittany. I mean, really, it's an honor. You know, 3 years is definitely too long. But so what else is going on with you? I mean, I know that your buddy, your old pal, I mean, assuming you're still friends, Alicia Monique Blanco has got some big things going on. Do you still keep in touch with her?
Oh, yeah. We're actually closer now than we've ever been. She's like sister to me. And if she knew that you guys were talking about, she'd be so happy. She's probably going to want to come on the show if you want to have her. But
well,
she has been
doing a lot. It's funny you
mentioned
that because, sorry. Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned that because I saw her online once and I tried talking to her and I think she reached back to me, but it was never any sort of like, hey, let's do the show. It was like, oh, hi, how are you? But, you know, she has been up to a lot. If I'm not mistaken, I saw she's either on a show currently or going to be on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I'll have to reach out to her for you guys so that she'll get on and have a conversation with you guys, especially about
Definitely.
The show. So there's a show called Coupled. It's a new show where, you know how they have the social media apps where you can do dating, you know, this whole
right.
Tinder, Bumble, all this stuff. Well, you can either swipe left, say no, you swipe right, you say yes, and then you connect with the person, right? Well, in this show that she ended up on this island, and they have a separate island with the guys and the separate island with the girls, and these girls have this chance to meet one guy one by one each week or day, however it goes, and the girls get a chance to sit with the guy for a moment, and then at the end of their time, they can either walk left and say no, or they walk right and say yes. And if they walk right and say yes, the guy comes to the group that says yes, and he gets to pick, I think, like two or three girls that he wants to have, like, one-on-one quality time to get to know each. And then if the guy ends up choosing the girl, he takes her away to, like, the Couples Cove Island or whatever it is, and they get to spend the day together and the night together. And so Alicia was on that show, and every episode is unfolding. I believe it's every Tuesday night on Fox. So, yeah, I'll promo that for her if you get curious and want to
oh,
see
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's funny you mention that because, again, I have you guys as friends on Facebook from the Pure Gold account, and I noticed something that she posted. Again, I don't go on there that much, and it's very infrequent, but I read something, and she's like, oh, looking for a daddy for I'm not sure what her dog's name is. But
Romeo.
When I first read it, Romeo, when I first read it, I was like, oh, my gosh, did she have a kid or something? Is she talking about her son? I literally thought that, like, somehow Alicia secretly, like, out of wedlock had a child with someone and then is talking about looking for her father for him. And I was like, what the? Then I started reading it. I said, oh, she's talking about her dog.
Yeah. You gotta
I started cracking up.
Treat animals like humans sometimes. Yeah, I don't have a dog, but she loves that dog as if it is her baby. It totally is. But yeah, she's not pregnant. She has no kids, but she is absolutely looking for love. That's why she also found herself on that show. So she's bound to find her Prince Charming soon, I'm sure.
Wow. I mean, Dave, we have,
wow.
I don't know if you know this, but we have Brittany on, not Alicia. I mean, can we
oh,
talk
Oh, of course,
Alicia?
Of course, but I just thought it was funny because they're BFFs, you know? I mean, you know, this.
Yeah. A lot of Fs there, Dave. A lot of BFFs there.
Yeah, no, of course, but it's just funny, like I said, that, you know, all these different things, I had to throw that out there because, of course, you know, they're BFFs, so, you know. But anyway, so when are you going to be on one of those shows, Brittany? I mean, are you looking for love? Are you going to find your Prince Charming on some random TV show, you know, in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, put her on the spot.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, a while back they had offered me a show that's kind of like The Bachelorette, and I had told them no because I didn't want to do this weird speed dating type thing where they expect you to, like, make out with a bunch of dudes randomly every day. I'm like, that's a little weird, organic approach. And also, it's not really my thing to go on a show like that. I don't know, maybe in the entertainment industry, I'm very particular about what I get myself involved in. And as far as love is concerned, maybe call me old-fashioned, call me whatever. I just like the more organic approach. And I like to see a guy's, like, attempt at coming, you know, coming after a woman and really trying to, you know, just build a real relationship. And it's always fun to have that surprise when you meet someone. So, but I'm not opposed. I have to say, our world is full of entertainment, media, all this stuff. So I have friends that are happily married, met on Facebook. So you never know.
Yeah, that's true. My wife and I actually met on, I don't know how Joe and his wife met. I'm pretty sure Joe, you know, begged her for years for her to even talk to him. But with me, my wife and I actually met on MySpace, which, of course, is, you know, pretty much irrelevant at this point. But You know, we have stories for days about that, but that was interesting, you know, social media. And neither one of us were looking for anything. We just happened to meet, you know, through that. And then eventually, you know, years later, we ended up dating and got married and whatnot. So you never know. I mean, you could be out there somewhere playing poker. I mean, who knows, Brittany? I mean, only God knows what future holds. But listen, you know, definitely if you can reach out to Alicia, I mean, you're always welcome to be on the show. I think that 3 years is about 2.5 years too long for, you know, for you to stop by, because of course, you know, you're one of the all-time classic Pure Gold guests. So do you have anything else coming up that you might want to promo, or, you know, maybe a book that you're writing, starring in a movie? I mean, anything, you know, world famous that we may see you in?
Running for president. I mean,
anything, Brittany. Thank you. Yeah. You know, these days, everything can happen when it comes to presidency. But anyway, especially because I went from watching Donald Trump as a owner of the pageant I was participating in to now watching him on television as a candidate. So it's really interesting in that world. So
did
you say president, I'm like, I don't put anything past it.
Speaking of that, did you ever get to meet him or anything when he was owner of Miss USA?
I've met him twice, once in Miss USA and then the second time at Miss Universe. So
what was he like? I mean, you know, of course from wrestling, because he was heavily involved in the early days of WrestleMania, but what is he like? I mean, you know, I have my personal opinions on him. Joe has his personal opinions on him. But, you know, in your opinion, what do you think of the Donald? I mean, you know, he's definitely an interesting guy.
Oh, the Donald. He's totally interesting. He's as interesting as everybody assumes he is. And in person, he is just frank and business-minded. You can just feel that he's all about business. And I feel like even when it comes to the pageant world, you know, as a businessman, as a person that's involved in business, you combine business and beauty, and what do? You forge relationships and leverage opportunities. And so, you know, you kind of can see him moving and shaking around the room and the associations of what he loves versus, oh, my daughter loves this country, and he's at, you know, talking to that country, or, oh, the social media influence of this country, and he's talking to that country, you know, so he's paying attention, but he's all about leveraging relationships and business. And so I think meeting him, just seeing him come in, you're kind of like, oh, there's the boss. But he's just scoping out his – it was kind of like, I think the pageant was really more like a hobby and a way to leverage more business and relationships. That's my personal opinion.
So basically you're saying he's through and through, because that sounds like a very – you know, like a politician would do, just going around and, you know, taking care of business, as it were. And, you know, definitely an interesting character. But, you know, some – obviously, Joe and I, we have about as much chance of meeting him as, you know, who knows? I mean, I can't even think of a good analogy, but the fact that, you know, he's out there and he's running for president, which is something I never thought he would do, and I never thought he would get this far.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked that, you know, he's going to be the presumptive, anyway, Republican nominee. And, you know, it's just interesting because Joe and I, you know, we talk politics on here once in a while. I'm definitely no fan of Hillary Clinton, you know, but the way that the world is going, I mean, it's interesting. You know, at one point there was an actor in Ronald Reagan who was president, and then you have Donald Trump who's another character. So that should be interesting. But anyway, Brittany,
yeah,
you know, I just had to throw that out there. So, Joe?
Yeah, do you notice that Dave is being very political with his answers? He's just like, he's like hiding all of it. He's being very political.
I think kind of everybody these days, and that's why we're seeing like these weird interesting results in the polls, is because everyone's kind of political because they're careful, you know, what we say, especially out in the media. And then all of a sudden when it comes to the polls, you're like, how did that person get there? It's like we all have our own personal opinions, and I have certain opinions as far as what I think about things. That, for example, it's hard when people talk about voting anyways, because, you know, in Guam, still, you know, considered a resident of Guam, we're not allowed to vote. And that's really interesting because we're an unincorporated territory. So we have certain privileges that the states don't have, but then at the same time, we have certain limitations that the states don't have, especially with voting, yet we're governed by the United States. So it's a really interesting thing. So there's a lot to consider when it comes to politics and presidency and all that. But I'm like, oh, Mr. You know, Trump, if only he would have seen the value in Guam. We're one of the most strategically placed islands and territories for the protection of the United States. So hopefully he pays a little more attention to Guam than he did in Miss Universe.
Well, it's, It's the same thing with Puerto Rico. I mean, my parents are both born there. You know, my dad was raised here, but, you know, my whole family, basically my entire family being from there, you know, the strategic positioning of the island is one of the reasons the United States wanted it in the first place. And here we are 100 years after the Jones Act, which incorporated the United States. It's interesting, which incorporated them, you know, as part of the United States as a commonwealth. It's just interesting that they also don't get to vote in the presidency. I mean, they have their, like, electoral, I think they get, like, one weird vote or something, but the people themselves don't get to vote in the election of the United States, even though it's a commonwealth. It's just, you know, politics are an interesting thing. But it's funny because I was reading an article today, and to end this, you know, specifically, I was reading an article today about Hillary Clinton, and I think it was John Stewart and other people who were saying how, you know, one of the big criticisms of her is that she does not seem to be comfortable. Like, when people engage her, when she's engaging people, she seems very political, very guarded, very much not able to be, like, a real person. So it's kind of like nobody knows the real Hillary Clinton. And it makes me wonder with Donald, because what I've seen on TV, he just always seems to be the same type of person. Clearly somebody who gives very political answers, but somebody who kind of, you know, makes statements and just kind of says things, and you could just tell it's kind of coming out versus, like, these are definitely not rehearsed answers. So it's definitely interesting in the realm that he's in. And, you know, you have your violent detractors of Donald Trump and those who are his supporters. But you know what, Brittany? We are supporters of Brittany Bell. You know, you should run for president at one point. You would have my vote, that's
funny.
For sure. And I'm sure Joe would as well. But
maybe. You know, it's so funny, on Guam, they were like, you should consider being a senator over here. Because, you know, we have senators in Guam, and
right.
We have, you know, our governor, and then we have one Congress. Right now it's a congresswoman, but we have one person in Congress that represents Guam, but we obviously don't get some of the other rights. But they've actually coerced me into considering it. And I just think it's funny you say that. And I'm honored that you would say that. But, you know, I've got a lot of work to do to take on a whole entire country. So I'd have to work on that for a long time, but thank you. And to answer your question earlier, you were asking what I've been working on and some of the things I've been doing. Well, I'm, you know, acting is one of my biggest passions, and I have a lot of fun with it. And comedic acting is something that I've always kind of played around with, like turning into different characters and being funny and breaking down this stereotype and this assumption of, oh, she's Pageant Patty, just, you know, prim and proper and only seen this way, and kind of breaking that down and saying, I've got Jim Carrey in me and a little bit of quirky Eddie Murphy style in me. You know, it's just the fun comedic side. And so I wrote a parody, and it's to a popular hip-hop song called Cut It from a guy named O.T. Genesis. And I rewrote the lyrics because it was actually really funny. When I was sitting in the car one day, I heard this song. I never listened to the radio. And I turn on the radio and I'm like, what is this ridiculously hilarious song? It's real. It's about a lot of interesting things, but it seemed comedic. And I was like, it says, cut it. And I just, first thing that came to mind was one of my fellow classmates back at ASU, Arizona State, James Harden. He grew out his beard. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's beard. And it's this big trend going around. It went from like a Philly thing to like, now it's a trendy thing everywhere. Everyone's growing out their beards. And I'm not a huge fan of long, long beards. And so I rewrote the song and created a parody and shot a music video to it. And it's up on YouTube and Facebook, but it's called Cut It Parody and Beard Parody. But you can find it on YouTube and laugh with me about it.
No, we definitely will. We'll definitely have to check that out. I mean, I'm sure Joe's checking it out now. That's why he's been quiet for the past few minutes. But listen, Brittany, we will absolutely check that out. You know, Joe, you want to say anything, sir? I mean, I don't know if you're still there.
Yeah, I mean, she's talking about being funny, and I was telling Dave this joke the other day just to end this little segment. It was that, like, Dave was like, Brittany's going to be on the show, and I was like, well, yeah, she doesn't ring a bell.
Very
so
funny.
Terrible.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely. But listen, Brittany, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Like I said about six times already, got to have you on sooner. Hopefully we'll be able to, you know, have you on in the very near future. And, you know, put in a good word for Alicia. You can be her agent. You know, we can send the check, tell her it's in the mail. Listen, don't pass up the opportunity. You gotta try out. If people are telling you to, you know, send it or whatever the case is, you should go for it. I mean, hey, who knows? Who knows what God has in store? So, again, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Ours, of course. And, again, your check for being on this show is also in the mail, so you should be receiving that shortly.
Very funny. Thank you. It's my pleasure. You know, you guys are great supporters, and it's nothing. It's, you know, it's like family. When you find people that are really there to support you, it's nothing to want to support back and be a part of whatever you guys are working on. So Thank you. And maybe in the future I'll come back on. Maybe I'll come on with Alicia. Or there's a project we're working on. There's a film that may be in the works pretty soon. When it does all come together and I can play around with that, I'll tell you guys about it. But it should be interesting. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely, Brittany. Thank you so much for coming on. And make sure you let us know. Well, let me know, because Joe, you know, he's got to be in bed at a certain time, and he's up there in age, so I'm usually the one who takes care of all the planning and stuff like that. You know, I got to take that off Joe's plate so he can take his afternoon naps. But thank you so much, Brittany. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Joe, don't let him push you around like that.
He fell asleep last week, so that's all right.
I actually did. The funny thing is, we had a guest, right? Just before you go, we had a guest, and I had been trying to get her on for months. We had been talking back and forth. Every week something came up, and I finally got her on the show, and I wake up halfway through the show. I fell asleep. I put my kids to sleep, right? Super late, of course. And I woke up in the middle of, you know, 11:30, about this time, actually. And Joe was finishing his interview with her because he had no idea what to do because, you know, I was the one getting her on. And I was so embarrassed and I felt so bad. So I had to make sure that I didn't do that to you this week, because then I'm sure at that point the show would have been, you know, taken off the air if I'm falling asleep on guests and stuff. But hey, parenthood, you know, I tell you, it's one of those things. You gotta do what you gotta do. But just throwing that out there. So thanks again, Brittany. Really appreciate it. You are awesome, and we will definitely talk soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brittany.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
The one and only. I was about to hang up the phone. The one and only Brittany Bell. Yeah, just end this program again. Yeah, that was an interesting interview, sir. I mean, you know, we were able to talk politics. I mean, we were able to really get into things that we don't normally talk about, and I just thought it was cool. And she mentioned Donald. I was like, wait a minute, she knows Donald Trump, so I had to at least get her take on you know, your future president.
Yeah, my future president, because you're moving to Guam, apparently, once he does become president in November.
Oh, of course. I'll be sure. I'll definitely be in Guam. Make sure you come visit.
Hey, guys. It's Brittany, Don, and Brandon, Miss Arizona USA 2011. Make sure you tune into Pure Gold Radio for only the best talk on sports, entertainment, politics, and much, much more.
That's the wrong Brittany, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. That's not who was just on the air. I mean,
well,
I can tell you're falling asleep, sir.
I'm just finding any Brittany close
to
you.
Gotta love Joe, folks, the greatness. So anyway, sir, what else did I talk about? I haven't heard anything about from Jewel the past couple of hours, so I'm not even sure if she's calling in.
Yeah, she might not.
I have no clue. I just got the video. Sorry, Brittany just sent me the video, so I got to send it to you to check it out after, of course. I make sure there's nothing inappropriate on there.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing about wrestling is that we were talking about the suspension of Roman Reigns.
I'm Anna Zielinski, and make sure to tune in to Pure Gold, where you can hear great interviews, wonderful insight, and the best talk radio around.
Hey, this is Ana Rodriguez, Miss Texas USA 2011, and I want you to check out Pure Gold Radio at puregoldpg.com. You can listen in to their show every week with David and Joe. They are simply pure gold.
Any more? Well,
no, I think that's it.
I think that's it. So the only other thing about wrestling talk is that they did announce that the brand extension will happen live. The draft is going to happen on Tuesday, July 19th, on live on SmackDown, the first night that SmackDown's live on Tuesday night. Shane will run it, and you told me that people like Kurt Angle.
Sorry, what did I tell you?
People like Kurt Angle and maybe RVD have been reached out to come back to wrestle.
Yeah, according to whatever, you know, all the blogs and everything, people are talking how the WWE has tried to reach out to Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, Goldberg, even Carlito, John Morrison, Shelton Benjamin. I mean, guys, we haven't seen the WWE in a very long time, other than Rey, of course, who was on a couple of years ago between injuries. But, yeah, I mean, apparently they're reaching out to all these guys because of the brand extension. And, you know, we could talk ad nauseum for what we think, the negative stuff that we think about the brand extension. And one thing is, it seems like the WWE didn't learn anything from the first time they did the brand split, which was a colossal failure, by the way. So it makes you wonder how this is going to be any different. I think this may be worse, to be honest with you, because as it stands right now, you can say whatever you want. You can say that, you know what, they have younger talent. Yeah, but they don't have the same type of talent. They don't have the same quality of talent that they used to have. So it's an inferior product at every level, the main event, every other aspect. So I don't see how this is going to work. I don't see how the brand extension is going to be anything other than a colossal failure, sir, because the roster, even if they bring up NXT guys, they're just not as good as they were when the original brand split happened.
Ratings are down. Everything is down. I don't know why they feel like they need to do the brand extension other than they feel like they're going to preserve and keep wrestlers from getting injuries, because let's face it, the injury bug this past year and a half has been incredible with, you know, John Cena, Rusev, Randy Orton is still out, Bray Wyatt just came
Orton
back.
Orton has been out for a long time. I don't even remember when Orton went down.
I think November, I think, of last year, I believe, was when he went down.
2014, was it? I'm sorry, what was that?
No, 2015, but yeah, it's been a while. So I don't know if this is a way to keep these wrestlers from sustaining long-term injuries because, well, you know, Seth Rollins.
But see, it's not because they still have – they're still going to be touring. They're going to be doing the stupid brand exclusive – you know, they're not even really pay-per-views, but the whole brand exclusive, you know, shows or special events or however you want to call it. So I don't know, sir. To me, this is going to be – it's just not going to be a good thing, and I don't understand why the WWE thinks it's a good idea. Do I think SmackDown going live is a good idea? Absolutely. But like we've said ad nauseum here, when you put these shows back-to-back, when you've got a Saturday night special, a Sunday night pay-per-view, a Monday night Raw, a Tuesday night SmackDown, it's just too much wrestling. Especially, look, if they were able to go like 4 or 5 hours, whatever the hell it was, Money in the Bank, I mean, what are they going to do for SummerSlam? Is SummerSlam going to be 6 hours? I mean, it's honestly ridiculous. It's just too much, sir.
It is. And I think one suggestion, and I don't think they're going to do it, I really think alignment is really important. I think that you can't split up the tag teams like they did last year, last time they did the brand extension. And I really think that you need to have, like, all the women on one show. If you're going to split the women up on both shows, I can't even name you two possible contenders for Charlotte's world title. Maybe Sasha Banks and maybe
Has she even been on TV? I know she's been doing, like, Sunday Night Heat or Shotgun Saturday Night or whatever the hell it is that they still have now, you know, those superstars, I think it is, those jobber shows. Has she been on Raw in the past, like, 3 months? I don't even think she has.
Yeah, last night was her reappearance, by the way, so I know that
Wait, when?
Didn't really... Last night.
Oh, she showed up. All right, good. Well, but the point is Sasha really hasn't been there because of concussions and everything else, so, look, at the end of the day, I just don't – when you talk about the women, if they're going to split it, I agree, bad idea. Splitting tag teams, always a bad idea. The only thing that I can think of is that they're going to split it. The only team I could see them splitting is Cass and Enzo because they see Cass as a star because of his height and everything else, although he probably should still have Enzo as a manager, if nothing else. So, to me, it should be interesting. At the end of the day, it'll at least be interesting to see where they go in that respect, but I definitely think that they need to keep the tag teams together because that was one of the biggest mistakes of the original brand extension. I mean, there's so many to name, but that was absolutely one of the huge mistakes that they made, sir.
Yeah, and I think we could definitely talk about this as we get closer to July 19th. The real thing that we should focus on the last 10, 15 minutes here is talk about the NBA Finals, because that was an epic series. It went 7 games. Who knew that the Cleveland Cavaliers would come back down 3-1? And I mean, if we go back and if we had archived the shows, we'd actually hear me say that I'd pick the Cleveland Cavaliers in 7 games before the series even started, which is incredible to now think about that actually happened. But let me ask you this, before we get into the Finals itself, has your views of LeBron changed before and after the Finals?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, sir, because you know that they have changed. I mean, to me, I looked at LeBron, I always talk about how I hated the whole, the announcement, the decision.
Yep.
I hated
yep.
that whole thing. But, you know, to see him go to Miami and take his talent to South Beach, you know, that whole thing bothered me. I know that's a big thing. A lot of people hated that. A lot of people, you know, disliked the fact that he did that. But at the end of the day, he goes down to Miami. He's in the finals all, was it 4 years that he was in Miami?
Yep.
He goes to the finals every year. You know, he won 2 titles, lost 2, if I'm not mistaken. Yes,
yep.
Yeah, and then he comes back to Cleveland wanting to win a title. He goes pretty much single-handedly drags his worthless team to the finals last year. You know, they lose. And then this year, down 3-1, of course, with the refs' help, because you know there's no way he could have won it without the refs. I mean, that's another thing. People talking about the refs, they should have been the MVPs. I mean, are people – we'll get back to this question in a second, you know, the whole LeBron thing, but are people really that stupid, sir?
I think they are. I mean, for them to think that the referees are the reason why the Cleveland Cavaliers won this is crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I look at him. I look at, you know, what he's done. I saw the emotion that he showed when he won, you know, crying. And, you know, some people may think that was phony. I don't think that was phony. I mean, he's from Akron. You know, he's a Cleveland guy. He was there for years. He started his career there, played basketball there, did all these things. I mean, he's a native son. This isn't some random dude. If this isn't Miami, you know, he didn't go to Miami. He came back home, and he finally won a title. Cleveland hadn't won a title in professional sports in 52 years, which is unreal, and that's ended. The fans are going nuts, I'm sure. You know, I heard all the stories about it. But to me, to see that, to see him actually deliver, to see him outplay the ridiculous unanimous MVP, which that's still – I'm not even a basketball fan. That still pisses me off with Steph Curry being the unanimous MVP. But at the end of the day, Steph embarrassed himself. The Warriors embarrassed themselves, and LeBron James proved to be the ultimate Warrior, sir.
What's incredible, too, is that what people forget is that when he left Cleveland and went to Miami and took his talents to South Beach, as he would say – the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers destroyed LeBron James for leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I remember.
Yeah,
Dan Gilbert,
and now,
yeah, Dan Gilbert was you know, kissing him on the cheek, basically, and, you know, loving him and sniffing his butt the other day because this guy came back and he brought it two years. Took him 2 years. And the thing is, he made NBA Finals history. The only team ever down 3-1 to win. And I think that cements it. You have a 73-9 team. The Golden State Warriors lost 9 games. Not one time in the season did they lose back-to-back games. To go and lose the last 3 games of their season is unbelievable. The fact that they were down 3-1, came back to win, and then come the next series to win 3-1, to be up to 3-1, and then lose, that's unreal. That's like you couldn't even have written that in a movie. It would have been more unrealistic. It's not even possible, sir. And to answer your question, I do have more respect for LeBron James. You know, the South Beach thing, that's in the past. He came home, he won a title, he did the impossible, played like a MVP. You know, he played great, and to me, he just absolutely earned respect of a lot of people. You know, I know Mike would say that he couldn't go up another class, so this doesn't really make much of a difference to his legacy. But to me, I still don't think he's better than Michael Jordan. I'll never think he's better than Michael Jordan, but I can't deny that this has to take him up a notch in his legacy, because it's what he did was almost unthinkable, sir. I mean, this is unreal, this team, and the fact that he was able to win, I think it's got to bring him up, sir, in terms of what he means to basketball and what, you know, the way he'll be looked at 10, 20 years from now. Because there's a huge difference to me between 2-4 in the finals and 3-3 at this point, and that third one being the way that he won this last one a couple of days ago, sir.
I mean, the people that he took to the finals last year and this year, when you think about J.R. Smith and Shumpert and some of the other guys that are just, like, complete bums that were on the Knicks. And
well,
now
basically,
he takes
the Knicks just won the title, if you think about it. I mean, the Knicks won the NBA title this year, sir.
It's basically that plus LeBron James. I mean, the guy is incredible. I think that, I mean, when you look at that block, how, I mean, I know you flipped out on text, so I can only imagine what you were saying when you were, if I was there in person. That block,
I couldn't believe
Iguodala,
it. That block was unreal. He looked like he was on a strap to a line, hanging from the ceiling. This is a stunt double. This guy fake flying, hands out, literally just across the screen. It's like he was floating on thin air. It was unbelievable. I've never seen a block like that in my life, and it's such a clutch block, you know. And then, of course, you have Kyrie coming up the floor and smashing that three-pointer right in Steph Curry's face, and he made him eat that and put a little ketchup on it and some hot sauce and some mustard. I mean, absolutely, he killed it, sir. He absolutely killed it. And that, to me, was, you know, I hate the flopping. I'm always going to hate the flopping, but, man, what a performance by LeBron. I think you got to respect him. And, you know, people are going to say he has no class, wearing the Ultimate Warrior shirt to disgrace the Warriors themselves, but I know he's a big wrestling fan. So, you know, if you want to just tie that back into the WWE, sir, we have this conversation off the air. We may as well have it on the air.
Yeah, how incredible is it that, like, we rip wrestling to no end, yet these athletes, these mega million athletes, they just love wrestling. They love belts, just like I like belts, and you rip me for it.
Yep.
But these guys love to carry belts around in the locker room, think they're a champion. If given the opportunity, they'd rather have a belt than actually the championship trophy, I think, sometimes.
I wouldn't be surprised. I just love the fact that for people who rip wrestling and think it's garbage and it's fake, I mean, this is literally, and I mean literally, these professional athletes, big-time people, all of them in every sport, huge wrestling fans, bringing the title belts with them, getting a title belt from the WWE with the Cavaliers logo, which we talked about this off the air, genius design to be able to put those plates on there and change them. Basically, it's a term of branding. They send it to everybody. I think that's great. I think the fact that they had the smoking skull belt, an obscure title belt, they were carrying around. Kevin Love had it. He's smashing beers and drinking them. I mean, it was great, sir. I absolutely loved it. I think it's great that so many of these athletes give, you know, credibility, so to speak, to wrestling because they're so into it. So I think that's great.
Yep. And one other note, I don't know if you know this, but after Game 4 in Cleveland when the Golden State Warriors beat them and went up 3-1, I think it was either Draymond Green or Iguodala on the Cavaliers on the Golden State Warriors went up to LeBron James and said, "This is a man's game." And I think that they woke up the sleeping giant because if you look at LeBron James' performance in games 5 and 6, especially game 7, not so much because he wasn't that dominant, but he did make some plays at the end of the game, including that free throw that sealed the game when they went up 4. But game 5 and 6, when he put up back to back 41 points and a triple double in game 7, I mean, I know that you can't compare him to Michael Jordan, but like I still think that LeBron James is one of the best, if not the top 5. I mean, if I was going to say Jordan 1, LeBron James 2, I don't think that anybody would argue with that. The fact that LeBron James is able to step up his game and bring these garbage players to the finals. I mean, look at J.R. Smith. He's an NBA champion now. I mean, he would never be an NBA champion without LeBron James.
He's bombing threes from every which angle. threes from every which angle.
And, you know, the East is so bad.
Two kisses on the wrist. Swish.
You know, the East is so bad, though. I don't know how the Celtics are going to have a lot of draft picks.
Get a haircut.
I don't think LeBron James has any problem getting to another finals next year. I think the only question is...
No. Yes.
Yes. You love that song, don't you?
I'm literally, folks, I'm literally in tears laughing about that song right now. Oh, Phil Jackson. What was it? I'm sorry, Phil Jackson.
I had to leave your garden or something like that.
I had to leave your garden. Oh, man. Ugh. What's it? Your name is So Ray.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have no problem getting to the finals next year again, I don't think, because I look at the East and who's their best competition, the Toronto Raptors? I mean, seriously, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be in the finals again next year. Question is, do they win the championship again? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you, what's the deal with Mike thinking that he's not even sure if LeBron's going to be able to make it back to the finals?
I don't know, because, again, does he know that the East is so weak that I don't think that the Cleveland Cavaliers have any problem unless they lose everybody to free agency, which I don't think anybody's a free agent.
I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are so right.
They are so right. You're so done.
I'm so right. My team is so right. Oh, man. What was it? Who did he buy a Cadillac for? Wasn't that part of the song?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, wait, come on. What was come on, Joe. You got to remember this.
Cadillac?
Yeah, don't you remember he bought a Cadillac or something for one of his teammates? Oh man, I got to find this. Let's see, what is it? Let's see. Let me see.
Go ahead, you can keep looking.
Just keep it up, sir.
No,
I love Novak, but if it was for me, he'd be driving a Buick.
Yeah, that's it.
What is it? Don't reprimand a player like me for showing natural booty through technology.
I didn't try to get LeBron
New York
James.
Knickerbockers. George Carl, what's up? Look at me now.
I think we should try to get Jared Smith on the show. I think it'd be great.
Oh, man, I would love I would absolutely love to have J.R. Smith. He's awesome. He's the best. I don't even know. He's got to be the – I think if you want to talk greatest NBA player of all time, hands down, J.R. Smith.
Hands
I don't
down.
Even think my, you know what's interesting? Speaking of that argument, I know we're not going to get into it now, but you read some of the reasoning that people have for thinking that LeBron is better than Michael or whatever the case is. I saw this kid looked like he's about 12 years old, and one of his things that he was saying, one of his comments was that Michael didn't play any good competition because everybody was old and washed up when Michael played them, from Barkley to Magic to Bird to Isaiah to everyone. They were all just garbage because they were all washed up and at the end of their careers. Then Michael faced them, none of them in their prime. I mean, where do people get this stuff from?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a bad argument to compare. I mean,
if I'm not mistaken, Charles Barkley was the NBA MVP. I think '93 he was the MVP. As a matter of fact, I mean, you're talking about all-time great players. These guys who were in their prime, but you know, hey, what do I know?
What do you know? But you know, maybe next week if we get Julian, we could definitely dissect the finals and put the NBA to bed because you know it was a great finals. And, you know, it would have been nice to talk to Julie about it, get her take on it, but we definitely give you our take on it, so I think we've done our job tonight.
Oh, I'm sure. I just hate the fact that the one and only, you know, Julie Buehler did not call in. I didn't even hear. I don't even know what happened to Julie. We were texting each other, and then I think she just changed her number or something, but I guess we'll find out. Listen, you got to give a special shout-out to Brittany Bell. Thanks so much to have her on there. I mean, she was so right. You know, she was bombing threes from every which angle with all the stuff we threw at her today. So thank you so much, Julie, for not coming on. We hopefully will have you on one of these days. And thank you, Brittany, for coming on. You are a beautiful woman among beautiful women. You're the best. Thank you so much. Folks, thanks for listening to me laugh. Complete and utter stupidity. Go out and listen to the original So Right J.R. Smith song and check out Britney's what the hell was that? I'm over here in my apartment. It sounds like somebody just threw themselves on the floor. If you want to check out the song that Britney Bell was talking about, OT Genesis, G-E-N-A-S-I-S, and it's called Cut It. It's a parody. I got to check it out. You check it out. Make sure you check out our past episodes, puregoldpg.com. Thank you so much, folks. It's been a pleasure. Yours, of course. And this, as always, one of our disjointed shows. We thank the three of you for listening. Really, I really appreciate
What's
it.
What's the name of your
show? Pure Gold.
Pure Gold.
Yes, sir.
I got two words for you. Pure Gold.
You guys are awesome.
Wait, what just happened? Did you cut it?
No, I didn't cut it.
What's the name of your show?
Pure Gold.
Pure Gold.
Yes, sir.
I got two words for you. Pure Gold.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Nikki. I don't know where you were the first time, but thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And, folks, have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much. And, as always, keep it PG.